Brother Langston, I'll just offer myself. I'll thank God for the Holy Ghost, Brother Lonnie. Thank God for His goodness. I would just say this, and it may, I don't know, some people may have been in the altar for years, but I'm going to tell you the reason, and this is, I mean, this is just as simple, this is just as basic as it gets. However long you've been in the altar, you might have just started or you might have been there 20 or 25 years. I'm going to tell you why you haven't received the Holy Ghost. You have not repented. I had this years ago, we were still down in the old church at home, Brother Langston, and I guess I'd had lead of the testimony service, and at the closing of the service, you know, I just told people, I said, if you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, there's something in your heart that God isn't pleased with. Basically, you just hadn't repented. And one of the people that were there on the altar got up and came to me. They were a bit offended by that. And he said, you mean to tell me that there's something? You believe that there's something in my heart that God's not pleased with? I said, yeah, I do. Because if there wasn't, you'd have salvation. I want to tell you tonight, and if I can get over here to the book of John. Your problem isn't forgiveness of sins. Christ did not come into this world. He was going along with Peter and John one day. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. And you can be like that man, and you can get offended by it, or you can take it and you can use it. But this is what your problem is. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Sister Ashley, about 120 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People a lot of times, Brother Russ, say, why do y'all say about? Because the Word of God says there were about 120 people there. They were all in one place, one mind, one accord. They were all together. And after they received the Holy Ghost, and a lot of people, they get around the holiness people. Maybe they're not familiar with it. Maybe they are. But just exactly like on the day of Pentecost, sometimes people look at the holiness people and, you know, when 120, I'm going to tell you, if one or two, Brother Randy, received the Holy Ghost here tonight, there would be a commotion, there'd be a noise, there'd be some rejoicing, and the word would go out. But you let 120 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and people are going to be coming in, they're going to want to know what's going on. People heard what was going on, they came running in and they looked and they saw the children of God rejoicing. They saw the power of God falling on them. They may have seen them staggering around, might have, under the power of God, might have seen them laying hands on one another. And they'd never seen anything like that, Brother Rusty. And they began to mock. Some of them began to mock. And they said, these people are drunk. They had found some kind of new wine. And Peter stood up, the very first sermon in the New Testament church. And he said, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Can anybody with one eye and half sense look around and see that we're not in the last days and we're closer than we've ever been? When I received the Holy Ghost, Brother Melvin took me down there to the end of Johnson Landing Road, took me out in the water, Brother Langston, baptized me, and he said, if anybody gets in now, they're getting in just under the wire. Well, I want you to understand this. And you can laugh and you can snicker and you can come into the house of God and you can play games, but I want you to know judgment is coming on this world. Right now. And I've been telling people for a few weeks. Right now, people think things are bad. We ain't seen nothing like what is coming. Jesus said there would come a time of tribulation like this world had never seen. And he said, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. And I want you to understand this. There is coming a time. Listen to me now. I got here, I came up to that door, and I wanted to come through that door back there, but it was locked up and I couldn't get in. There's coming a time, listen to me, God's sending out a call here in the last days. There is coming a time when the door of salvation is going to be locked up against you, and you can do whatever you want to. You can scream, you can cry, you can mourn, but I want you to know when the gates of mercy are closed up against you, that's all there is to it. These are not drunk, as you suppose. Peter said, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out of my spirit in the last day, saith God. He went on and he preached the first sermon in the New Testament church, Brother Rusty. And those people, I'm going to tell you, when the word of God begins to go out and God sends it begins to prick, it begins to touch people down in the depths of their heart. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what your children of God are praying for, but after being here just a little while, I tell you what, if I was here, and I will be praying, I'd be praying that the fear of God would begin to come down into the hearts, glory to God, not just in the lost people, but the children of God as well. There has got to be some fear for people. It is by the fear of God that men depart from iniquity. I've got to say this. I'd been going to the altar. You got a little unbelief? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is what? That He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, Brother Tim, you said, I've got to repent. You do. If you got unbelief, you got to repent of that. I've been going to the altar. I felt the power of God. And I got up one night, talked to a young man. He didn't live too long after that, a good child of God. You know what he said to me? Not a word. God didn't give him. Sober-minded, just as solid as an absolute rock. Young child of God. I told him, I says, you know, I feel like I'm just doubting the Lord. He didn't say a word, just went on his way. But beloved, I went back. I'm going to tell you something. You think you got something hid from the Lord? You got some unbelief? Don't try to hide that. God knows about it. Get honest. Get straight up with the Lord. That's what He's looking for. Brother Andy, I went back there. I knelt down in the old church. Y'all have heard this before. It's one of my favorite stories. I'll tell it again. I'm related to Melvin Brown. Went about three quarters of the way, just two rows of benches down there in the old church. I went about three quarters of the way back and I knelt down. And if you'd been sitting as close as I am to you, you could not have heard what I said. But I just put my hands in my face. You think God's somewhere far off. You think God doesn't hear. God does hear. Brother Langston, I put my hands in my face and I said, Lord God, I'm ashamed of it. I said, but I'm just doubting you. And that was about the prayer that I prayed. No. But it came right. Listen, the prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. Talk to God. He doesn't want to hear about all of your jumbled up stuff in your mind. He wants you to talk to Him out of the depths of your heart. You hadn't received the Holy Ghost. You hadn't repented. Brother Lonnie, I got up and I sat down right there where I prayed. And I have no idea where Brother Melvin had been. But in a little while, he came through that door. Praise God. You know it means something to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. He came in, and instead of going up to the front of the church, he went about halfway down the aisle, and he sat down over on the left-hand side from me. No doubt the Lord just spoke to him and said, sit down. My sister-in-law, Karen, began to testify. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to tell you, this laying out, it means something, beloved. I told the people over at home this weekend, it means something to be in the house of God. And brother, all of this foolishness with these ball games and these kids playing ball and people finding excuse after excuse after excuse to be outside the house of God, I'm going to tell you what it'll do. Brother Langston, people that are lost and undone, they drag their children out of church and take them out to play ball, and you know what they're doing? They're teaching their children, it's okay to be out of church. It's all right to miss, to go out and play ball and play sports. Might be a computer school. It doesn't make any difference to me. On Sunday, in the house of God is where children of God ought to be at. Everybody ought to be there, and they ought to have their families. And I appreciate the way that you and Sister Jenna are raising them babies and teaching them be in the house of God. You never know. Sister Carolyn, I drove over here. I had no idea what I was going to say. Didn't have any idea what I was going to do. Don't want to say nothing stupid or get out on my own. You hadn't heard the last of that one. Anyway, my sister-in-law got up. I had prayed the prayer. I just got up. Sister Jenna says she prays that I won't get out, or me or Brother Rusty say, no, I'm sorry. That was personal, but we won't do nothing stupid or get out of the leading of the Lord. So I'm going to use that from time to time. And I appreciate that. I didn't come over here to do nothing stupid. I came over here, beloved, on business. Glory to God for the King. My sister-in-law got up, and I'm telling you something, it means something to be led by the Spirit of God, and laying hands on people, beloved, is not a game. If you want to lay hands on some people, I'm going to tell you what you do. You look at them, Brother Lonnie. I had a dream a little while back, and in this dream, I had a hold of this rattlesnake, and its head was just about this wide, and it was coiled up around me, and I had it by the head, Brother Randy. And in this dream, this serpent had so much power, I thought if I don't throw him down, if I don't get rid of him, he's going to turn around here and he's going to bite me on the arm. And in this dream, I threw the serpent down, and the instant that I did, Brother Langston, in my dream, I realized I messed up. Now the serpent is not just a danger to me, but he's a danger to everybody else. And I realized that he was in a danger to the congregation of the people there that God has made me the overseer of. Within just a few days, a situation came up and I had to handle it. If I didn't, it was going to be a danger to me, and it was going to be a danger to the congregation at Valamosa, and very well could have crept in right up here. So I handled it. But it's concerning laying on hands. Before you get wrapped up, I'm going to tell you something. How many times, sister, did we hear Brother Melvin tell us, you know, getting wrapped up in a good feeling will get you snake bit. People get around, listen to me now. People get around, brother, and they see a serpent, and they get a good feeling that God ain't leading them nowhere around it, and they want to reach out, and they want to take up a serpent, and that old serpent bite them. That isn't a sign, beloved. Kill them. There's been those that have been bitten and killed. I can understand, you know, the Apostle Paul got bit by one time, but it had no effect on him. Before you run out, listen, I'm talking about praying for the sick. I'm talking about during service. I'm talking about these people in this altar. Before you go and you put your hands on them, you look at them, and you put a big old serpent, big old rattlesnake with his head about this wide on top of their head, and if you can still lay your hand on them, well, then you go and lay your hand on them. Otherwise, like the old saying is, keep your hands to yourself. My brother, no doubt, Brother Melvin, no doubt my sister-in-law, led by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to read just a little bit of the Word of God here when God gets ready for me to. Karen got up, started down the aisle, testifying the power of God. Amen. The power of God all over. She came back there where I was sitting, laid hands on me, on Brother Melvin, came over and laid hands on me. When she laid hands on Brother Melvin, the power of God came on him. And when she laid hands on me, the power of God came on me. I got up, I thought I was going to the altar. I had just had the gall, unmitigated gall. Being honest, but I was there in the house of God and I said, you know, I'm ashamed of it, but I believe I'm doubting you. I got up and I started out and I thought that I was going to the altar. Brother Melvin laid hands on Karen, knocked her down. Brother Melvin laid hands on me and the power of God knocked me down. And I'm going to tell you what he did. Other than giving me the Holy Ghost, best thing that ever happened to me. He brought a fear down on me. And when he knocked me down, he knocked all of that doubt out of my heart and out of my mind. And he let me know, if I want your next breath, I'll take it. You're in my hand, boy, and you better start paying attention. Glory to God, Brother Andy. Let me tell you. You think you're in control? You think you're in charge? Let me tell you, no, you're not. You're nothing but just hanging by a little old spider web. That's what you're like, hanging by a little old silver thread. I walked up onto my porch this morning, Brother Randy, and old spider, he done made his way, and he's hanging there right there on the opening up to my porch at my office. I just reached and I took his little web. And I just took him off and I dropped him down and I put my foot on him. And that was it. And the sooner that you understand that you lay in the hand of God and your life and your breath is in the hand of God and you begin to fear. Hey, listen, God's good, God's merciful, God loves people. And that's what I've been telling people. I told the people up at Flintville just how merciful. I have seen some of the low-downest Brother Lonnie sinners that you could ever even imagine. And God get patient with them and just extend mercy to them. After a while, though, that mercy was cut off. I want you to understand something. After the Apostle Peter preached that first sermon in the New Testament church, those people were sitting there. They were listening to a man anointed, ordained of God, sent to carry his word. And they were touched. The Word of God says they were pricked in their hearts. And they got up and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? They wanted to know what they had to do to be saved. Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall is a positive term. Listen to me now. People go out. He said, repent and be baptized. People go out and they're dunked under the water. They aren't any different. They take them and they dunk them under the water again and they still aren't any different. Baptism does in water does not save not one soul. Baptism in water is done in the order of the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, go into all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And baptism is the person that has been baptized. It is their open testimony. The Word of God says you are buried in baptism. It is that person's open testimony to the world that they have died to sin and that they will no longer be walking in sin and they are plunged completely under the water. We're not talking about sprinkling nobody and we ain't talking about baptizing little babies that are just as pure as they can be. That little baby back there hadn't got any sin, doesn't need any baptism. It is free of sin. People taking these little old babies out there and baptizing them. That's as rotten as it can be. They just is more, they're more pure. They're as pure as they can be. And they're a whole lot more pure than the one that's standing over there pouring water over their head. I can tell you that. The problem is, and they come up out of the water and they go right back out into sin. Why? Because they didn't die. Because they didn't repent. Because they got buried alive and they come forth instead of walking in newness of life. They're still out in that same old sinful, filthy life, and there hadn't been any repentance and there hadn't been any change, and the Holy Ghost hadn't come in and it hadn't applied the blood of Jesus Christ that He said would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'd be water baptized 5,000 times, and if you don't repent, you're not receiving the Holy Ghost. When John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, what was he preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came to his cousin John the Baptist to be baptized in water, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus said, suffer it to be so. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So John suffered him. John allowed him, took him out in the water, put him completely under the water. And when Jesus came forth, the Holy Ghost descended on him in the bodily form of a dove, and it took its abode on him. Glory to God. And God said this, and there was a voice came from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit led him out into the wilderness. Listen to me now. The Spirit led him out into the wilderness. He was out there 40 days, 40 nights, and he fasted. And he came forth, and listen, old devil come by and tempted him, couldn't do a thing in the world with him, had to go on his way. And when Jesus came forth preaching, what was he preaching? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I told you this was going to be absolutely basic. I went to the altar for about 61 days. You want to know why you hadn't got the Holy Ghost? You've been praying, you saying, God, why don't I have the Holy Ghost? You're getting your answer. About 61 days, Brother Lonnie, I went to the altar. I had a filthy mouth, Brother Randy. Word of God says, listen to me. You got a filthy mouth? Hey, clean that filth up. I had one, I'd trained myself to speak that way. And the Word of God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I had a lying tongue, brother. I'd lie for the fun of it. I'd tell you a lie just for the fun of it, Brother Randy. The Word of God says that all liars are going to have their part in that lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. I begin to clean things up, Brother Randy. I begin to change the way that I talk. If I said something and it came out unclean, I would stop and I would go back and I would say it correctly without any filth in it. Wherever I went, I was praying. What are you doing outside the house of God? You leaving, listen, y'all just pray for me, children of God. You people leaving out the house of God and you going home and piling up in front of the TV. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God, He said, draw nigh unto me. I'll draw nigh unto you. You going and hanging out with your buddies and they out there talking a bunch of filth and you hanging around that. The Word of God said, for you to come out from among them and be ye separate. Get away from that filth. I had people that I thought were my friends back then. We don't run around together anymore, brother. I laid them down. I put them down. I repented of them. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me now. There were things in my life that would take my mind and I would put them into my body. Might have been a bottle. Might have been some other kind of dope. That had to go. Word of God tells us over and over and over, Brother Rusty, to be sober-minded, settled, of a reasonable and sound mind. You got a bunch of dope running around in your body. You got a bunch of alcohol running around in your body. I want you to know something. Your judgment's impaired, and God isn't pleased with it. All of these things, beloved. I'm still going to read a little bit of the Word of God if God permits. All of these things, I began to clean these things up. And I was seeking the Lord. And sometimes I'd go to the altar, and sometimes I'd feel the Lord, and sometimes I wouldn't. And when I didn't, you know what that meant to me? There's something in my life God is not pleased with. And it was up to me to find out what it was. And I was seeking the Lord. Beloved, I was going down the road and I was praying. I prayed about 16 hours going out to Houston, Texas. There is a difference, beloved, in going to the altar and seeking God. Beloved, if I wasn't praying, I sure wasn't piled up in front of no TV. And I had a bunch of foolish music that I carried in my truck with me. And the Lord impressed on me one time, that music has got to go. I didn't listen. He was good enough to impress on me again, that music, that foolishness has got to go. Still wouldn't listen. About the third time he impressed on me, Brother Randy, and do you know how merciful that is? He could have told me and been just like, they could have. He could have cut me off that web like a spider and called me out of this world. About the third time that he told me that foolishness had to go, that foolishness went. And wherever I went, I was praying. And if I wasn't praying when I left out of that altar, I knew that the reason that I hadn't received the Holy Ghost wasn't God was just being stubborn with me. We just did a funeral for a man. And you know what the man said? I'm just waiting on the Lord. Is that what you're doing? I'll tell you what he did. He waited on the Lord too long and one too many times. Now, you're not waiting on the Lord. The Lord is waiting on you to turn your whole heart. I'd lay down at night. Brother, I didn't even turn the TV on. That wasn't happening. And while my family, whatever it is, I'm telling you the difference in seeking God for salvation and going to the altar. There's people down there at Valamosa, and I don't mean to be unkind, have been in the altar probably for 40 or 50 years. If they get down to business and quit going to the altar and seek God with their whole heart, he said, in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, you'll be found of me. If they quit going to the altar and begin to seek God, it probably wouldn't take them but 3 or 4 days and they'd have salvation, if that long. While my family, brother, while they were doing whatever it is they were doing, I was back there in that bedroom, and I'll tell you what I found out. I found out that I could get, you know, hey, Sister Loretta, I like to have the children of God pray for me. I can still remember those same voices down there that are in that altar praying for people. I can remember those voices. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Them laying hands on me. I appreciated all that. And God had let me feel his quickening power. I appreciated all of that. But when it comes down to it, I want you to understand this. Salvation is between you and God. And nobody going to give it to you. And the good thing about that is ain't nobody going to take it away from you. Because it is personal. It is in between you and the Lord. And while they were doing these other things, Brother Rusty, I was back there in my bedroom. I found out I could get a hold of the Lord for myself. And let me say this. I think I've been pretty clear about this, but let me say this. You want to get to the Lord? Quit your sinning. God's watching you. He knows what you're doing. I started to the altar, Sister Carolyn, first time or two that I went, and I'd get out, and oh, devil, it didn't have to be murder. It didn't have to be armed robbery. Beloved, I'd get out, and he'd present some kind of sin to me, and I'd get into it. And the Lord let me understand and realize Satan is trapping you, son, and you're falling right into the trap. And I begin to do what the Word of God said. I begin to keep myself. He said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. The more I did to get to the Lord, I would listen.
God bless him.
You ever seen anybody that was all mouth? Always talking, never doing. You seen them, hadn't you? I have too. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't a talker. I was a doer. It's not the hearer of the word that's justified, but it is the doer of the word that's justified. So I wasn't just talking. Brother Rusty, I was showing God by my actions. I'm straightening this mess that I've got made up. I'm coming to you. I'm going to receive salvation. While they were doing whatever they were doing, I'm back there with my family. I'm back there in my bedroom. And the power of God would be on me, and I'd be maybe knock me down on the floor. I'd come out from back there, and I'd be ashamed that I hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And beloved, laying there at night, I'd take this Word of God, and I'd lay it on my chest. And I'd just be hoping on hope that this Word of God would get somehow, would get down into my heart and take up its abode there. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that it may. That's faith, Brother Randy. That's belief. Now, you think you've repented? You hadn't. And I know you hadn't, because you hadn't got the Holy Ghost. And if you had, you would. And you think you know your heart. I'm going to tell you what. The Word of God says that heart is deceitful. The night that I received the Holy Ghost, I was there in my home by myself. And you know, I could have been anywhere I wanted to be. Anywhere I could have afforded to be. And my children and my wife had gone out to the fair. I think it hadn't been a year since I've been over here. But it's been a little while, and y'all may be like, boy, I hope he don't come back for a year. He just takes up too much time. But I'm taking up the time to tell you what it takes for men and women to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost if they want it. My wife and my children had gone to the Morgan County Fair. They wanted to know, do you want to go? And I had looked, and Brother Melvin had told us, said, you pick out a child of God and you model your life. Talking to the lost people, said, you model your life after them. And if they would do a thing, okay, you do it. But if they wouldn't, you lay off of it. Stay away from it. And when they asked me, do you want to go out to the fair, I thought about Brother Melvin. Never one time. And I want to be clear about this. I am not saying that it's a sin to go and ride the Ferris wheel. I am talking about the difference in seeking God and going to the altar, though. Do you want to go? No, I don't want to go. Would Brother Melvin go? Brother Melvin, I never knew of him. Why? Because a holiness preacher had a lot better things to do than be going out there and throwing darts at a balloon, shooting a duck floating down the stream on a little bit of water, trying to throw a ring over a bottle, or riding the Ferris wheel. I stayed home. When they came back home, I had been seeking God. When they came back home, I had the Holy Ghost. You know what they had? And this is a little bit disgusting, but this is the fact of the business. They had vomit on their shoes where somebody out there probably been drinking too much, having a little bit of what they called fun, and throwed up and it splattered on them. And I had the best thing, brother, that God has got to give to man. When I was praying, well, first off, I couldn't feel God nowhere around me. When I knelt down to pray, I couldn't feel God anywhere around me. And I thought, I have pushed God too far. Because Brother Melvin had told us, my spirit will not always strive with man. And when I couldn't feel him, beloved, I thought, I have pushed God too far. Now I'm just going to be ruined evermore. And then that prayer. Beloved, a prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. That prayer left from up here and it began to come from my heart. And it was a mournful cry. I began to mourn before the Lord. And then when that prayer came from my heart, then, beloved, I could feel that quickening power of God on my body. And when I could feel that quickening power of God on my body, I knew I was connected to God and that He was hearing my prayer. And what I wanted to know is I wanted to know, why have I not received the Holy Ghost? And the more I prayed and the more I strove, Brother Randy, the more the power of God I could feel, and the Lord was using me and the power of God was using me, and I still wanted to know why. I want to know why. There's a reason you hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And for a little while, Brother Rusty, Satan was right there on the scene too. Satan says, you know what? You're close to the Lord. Satan's seen countless numbers of people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, you're close to the Lord. He didn't mind admitting it. He said, you're close to the Lord. What you need to do is quit praying and call Aunt Cherie. Call somebody to pray for you. And I'd already crossed that bridge. I says, My salvation is between me and God. I'm not calling anybody to pray for me. The Word of God tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. There are going to be times that it is you and the Lord, and you have got to know where you are at and where you stand before the Lord. God's got this thing fixed just exactly right. As I'm praying there, Brother Lonnie, and if you'd have asked me 10 minutes before this, what is it? I could have said, well, I hadn't repented. But I could not have told you exactly what it was. And God, in just a little while, I kept contending with Him. He began to show me these things that I had done. His question was not, was I sorry for having done them? His question was, are you ever going to do these things again? I'd been preparing my heart to serve God, Brother Rusty. I looked at them. Every one of them was sin. Every one of them was a transgression of the law of God. And I looked at them. Now listen to me. I looked at them and it didn't. If I'd have looked at one of them and said, I don't know, I might want to go back and do that again, I'd have been lost until I repented. I looked at them and I said, no, 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 I will not be going against my God. Beloved, I can't tell you, but I meant it from my heart, and that is repentance. I meant that I would die before I ever did anything against God. I can't tell you what I was praying after that. But I can tell you this, God recognized what I had just done as repentance. And in a little while, Brother Randy, I came to myself. I was standing on my feet and my tongue began to move under the power of God. And I realized that my tongue was moving under the power of God and I didn't have a thing in the world to do with it. And you don't believe in speaking in tongues. That's okay with me. You don't believe the Word of God. Open up the Bible to the second chapter of the book of Acts, the 10th chapter of the book of Acts and the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. When people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, their tongue moved under the power of God. And it is that Spirit testifying back to the Father that it has taken its abode there in Jesus. One of the signs that He gave that would follow them that believe, they shall speak with new tongues, a language not naturally learned. Did you ever try to learn to speak Spanish? Never tried to learn any kind of foreign language? You'd have had to done it naturally. You'd have had to took a book and you'd have had to study. I thought you was trying to learn to speak some Espanol. this tongue, this spiritual tongue, this cloven tongue that comes with the Holy Ghost. This is evidence that men and women have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is a language that is not naturally learned. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Now I'm going to read a little bit of the Word of God, and I'm just about done. Wash you. Get cleaned up. Make you clean. Put evil. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Let's talk about this thing, God says. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But, you see, there's an if there. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Get cleaned up. Wash yourself. Get rid of this filth and this evil and this sin. And if you want to know, don't go home now and say, I don't know why I haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I've just told you by the Word of God why you hadn't received the Holy Ghost. You just simply have not repented, and except you repent, you're going to perish. And I want you to understand this. I'm going to get out of the way. Right now, God's mercy is being extended. But there is coming a time in not too near future that I'm afraid that the doors of mercy are going to be shut against people. People that have felt the power of God. People that have heard the Word of God, people that have witnessed miracles at the hand of God and know they have seen it. And there is going to come a time, according to this Word, that every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us have got an appointment to die, and every one of us have got an appointment at that judgment. And it is going, according to the Word of God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And it is going to be a horrible thing. Listen to me now. If you have to stand before Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth, and you have to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And those angels come and they take you and they bind you and they cast you into a burning lake of fire, and you go in there, and I want you to know, once you go in, you are never coming out, beloved. And there will be, according to what Jesus said about it, there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. And when you go in, and there's going to be some people that have to go. And if it's you, when you go in, there is going to be a cry that goes up. And there is going to be screaming. And there is going to be the stink and the stench of burning flesh and burning hair. And there is going to be screaming and weeping. And all of a sudden, you're going to come and you're going to realize that there is a voice that is up above all of the rest of the voices that are coming up out of that pit. And it's louder than all the rest of them. And you're going to recognize that it is your voice that is screaming louder. And beloved, you think you got too much pride to come down here and kneel down in this altar? You'll pray. You can either pray now or you can pray then. But beloved, I'm going to tell you, you will pray. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. You don't want to have to go down into that burning pit of hell, and you got a little bit of while. You got a little time before judgment begins to come and the doors of mercy are shut and you never be able to receive salvation. And God is sending out a call. I appreciate y'all's patience. Listen, I didn't come over here, Brother Langston, I didn't know what I was going to do when I got here. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to do when I got up. But do not go home and say, I don't know why I hadn't received the Holy Ghost, because you just hadn't repented. And if you will, you will receive the Holy Ghost. I'm done, brother.